Give you my own happy Easter. Very glad for Easter season. This is the season where we celebrate with double vigor the resurrection of Christ from the dead. But what is new about the resurrection? That's the series that we are in for this Easter season. What is new about the resurrection? And last Sunday, Dan opened up the series with new life, the new life that comes to us from the resurrection of Christ. And this week, I want to talk about the new peace that is ours because of the resurrection. The new peace. There is, how many of you guys have seen the movie Miss Congeniality? Do you know this movie? Okay. It's about 15 years old. It's kind of hard to believe. Well, there's this great scene from that movie where Sandra Bullock, she plays this cop who is undercover as Gracie Lou Freebush from New Jersey, and she is in the Miss United States pageant. And there's this montage of contestant after contestant answering the question, what is the one most important thing our society needs? And they all answer the same way, one after another, until we get to Gracie Lou. And she answers, that would be harsher punishments for parole violators, Stan. And then the crowd falls into this awkward hush. But then Gracie Lou, after a pause, she chimes out with the answer to this question that every beauty pageant contestant has given since time immemorial. And that answer is world peace. World peace. Everybody just erupts into applause. And, you know, it may be a cheesy sort of answer, but it really does betray a deep craving that we all long for peace, for lasting peace. The question is, what is peace? What is peace? Is it simply the absence of conflict? Even if it were, conflict will always return unless we ourselves find peace. So peace has to be more. So what is it then? Is it psychological comfort? Is it serenity? Tranquility. But even these things ebb and flow. Peace has to be more than a feeling. It has to be more than a state of mind. So, what is peace according to the Bible? Biblically, peace is wholeness. Wholeness. The idea is this. Picture yourself as a house. And all of a sudden, something comes along and blindsides you. Cracks your foundation. And the bricks of your house are just strewn across the yard. You're broken. Peace means putting you back together again. Peace means making you whole again. But what is it that blindsided you? Sin. Sin, this force that takes the bricks and the very foundations of our humanity and misshapes them. And it gets worse because we're not just the victim of sin, we are the willing accomplices of sin. We've all done our share of abusing the foundations, misplacing the bricks of our intellects, our emotions, our bodies. All of us have done this. Sin has wreaked its havoc on all of us. But Jesus came to give us peace, to restore us to wholeness. Now, twice in this passage from John that I just read, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And if we'd read further, we would have heard him say it a third time. Now, it's true, this is a common greeting in the ancient world, shalom in Hebrew, Irene in Greek, which is incidentally where we get the name Irene, means peace. But the import is more than just a greeting here. Peace be with you, Jesus says at the end of verse 19. And then verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. We can't miss the weight of this. Peace, he says. And then he shows them his hands and his side. Peace. Wholeness. Because I, Jesus, the new man, am whole. Not even death could break me. And as I am now, raised and whole, so you will be. Peace be with you. wholeness is ours because of Christ, because Christ is now here and he is ours. Peace be with you. But what does this peace entail? We're going to look at two things tonight. Peace is with us because we have been reconciled. And second, peace is with us because we have been released. Peace through reconciliation and through release. Now first, we have peace because we have been reconciled. Reconciled to whom? To God. We've been reconciled to God. But why did we need to be reconciled to God? Because of our sins. We've taken the houses that we have on rent from God ourselves, and we have hosted other deities. All those people are things that we build our lives around. And none of them has ever proven or will ever prove to be a tame house guest. It's like a frat party gone bad. These counterfeit deities will always distort and destroy. And we may be able, with some clever patching, to mask the damage. But by ourselves, we can never remove the damage. We need to be reconciled to the owner of our house, our life, God. What is at the heart of this reconciliation with God? The forgiveness of sins. And forgiveness doesn't just mean patching over, it means removal. I like the old phrase, remission of sins. The sending away of sins. God removes the stains on the floor, the cracks in the foundation. At the heart of reconciliation with God is the removal of your sins. And how is this reconciliation accomplished? It's by Christ's death. His blood is the cleaning agent that takes out the stains. It's the mortar that repairs the cracks. It's by Christ's death that our reconciliation is accomplished. But how do you and I own this reconciliation? By believing in Christ, by putting our stock, our whole stock, in him. You know, after Jesus says, "Peace be with you," a second time in verse 21, he ordains his apostles to go out. And that's what he's doing by breathing out the Holy Spirit on them. He is setting them aside for the ministry of reconciliation. And then he says these powerful words in verse 23, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now, what in the world does this mean? Is this sort of a willy-nilly, a little forgiveness here, a little withholding there? Is that what he's talking about? No. Forgiveness, or the withholding of forgiveness, is tied up with whether or not the message of Christ that these apostles have been entrusted with is received. And we see that in the book of Acts. In Acts 10, Peter states that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins in his name. And to everyone who responded to Jesus in faith, the apostles could say with full authority, "Your sins are forgiven." And so we receive reconciliation with God, forgiveness, by believing in Christ. And on the other hand, those who did not receive the message did not receive forgiveness. And earlier in Acts, there was a man named Simon who hypocritically responded to the message, and he was even baptized, but he never really believed from the heart. And Peter declared to him, "Your heart is not right before God. You are in the bond of iniquity," he said. "Chained still to your sins," is the idea. And so again, if you don't believe in Jesus, forgiveness is withheld. We have peace, wholeness, because we have been reconciled to God. Our sins have been taken away through Christ if we trust in him. Now perhaps you're here this evening and you're not whole. You're not at peace. The appeal to you is to be reconciled to God. Believe in Jesus. All those failings, all those idolatries that have broken up your house, they'll be removed. They'll be removed. Cleaned out. So the appeal is, be reconciled, be at peace, be whole again, have your humanity restored again. But perhaps you're here and you have doubt, even as a Christian. Can God really forgive me? Does he really forgive me? I've punched a lot of holes in my walls. I've really kicked at my foundations again and again, more times than I can tell. Is there forgiveness even for one like me? I want you to think back earlier in the service. We say this every Sunday. We say this after the confession of sin. What immediately follows that? God have mercy on you and forgive you all your sins. We're supposed to hear that declaration as the words of Christ to us. If you turn to Christ, your sins are forgiven, removed, taken away. And so be at peace. Peace be with you. We have peace. We have wholeness because we have been reconciled to God. And second, we have peace because we have been released. We've been released. And for this, we're going to look at the passage that Casey read from Ephesians 1. That is on page 836, if you want to turn there. Peace through release. But release from what? From all rival powers. From all rival powers. Look in verse 20. God worked his power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, to be at the right hand of God is to be at the place of power. Power over what? If you continue reading, verse 21. All rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named. That's where Christ is. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God has released us from every power that wants to claim dominion over us. But who are these powers? In short, they are the ideologies, the worldviews, the institutions, and behind them all, the spiritual forces that want to own your house, that want to own your humanity, whether by enticement or by fear. Now, it could be a political philosophy. It could be a regal personality. It could be a worldview that seeks to lure you. It's all about success. It's all about making money. Or a worldview that seeks to shame you into submission. Every right-thinking person feels this way. What's wrong with you? In short, these authorities, these powers, these names, human or spiritual, they set themselves up, whether by coaxing or by threat, to be the objects of your devotion. These are the powers that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 1. And why did we need to be released from these powers? Because they're hollow masters, and they will never deliver on their promises. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but your political party is not going to usher in the golden age. Your titles, your accomplishments, your positions are not going to fill that void. They're not going to make you whole. None of the powers will give you peace. And that's why you need to be released from them. To find a true peace, a true wholeness for your humanity. And how has this release been accomplished? It's by Christ's resurrection from the dead and by his ascension into heaven. Listen to verse 20 again. God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. You know, for all their power, the Jewish and Roman powers of Jesus' day, with their names, their ideologies, their institutions, and ultimately the evil spiritual forces that were behind them all, with all their power, they couldn't defeat Jesus in life or in death. Jesus demonstrated his power over every power then, over every power to come, by rising from the dead. And if Jesus can release himself from every power, even death, then he can guarantee our release from those same powers. But again, as with reconciliation, how is this release made ours? It's by attaching yourself to this new head this omnipotent power, Christ. It's by being a part of His people, the church. Because verse 22 says, God put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Believe in Christ. He will release you from every crushing power that this world has, because none of them are going to give you peace. None of them can ever crush Him or crush you. Here's a helpful parable as a way to think about all of this. I asked you earlier to imagine you were a house. Now just imagine that you live in a neighborhood, and it's a neighborhood that's ruled by a ruthless gang. And some of your neighbors have learned to navigate the territory somewhat successfully, but they're never really at peace because the powers that be control everything. One day, a new neighbor moves in. He's not a revolutionary, but he challenges the authority of the gang by promising a rescue from their power. So one day, the gang sends a message. The new neighbor's house gets raided, gets burned down. And that's the end of that, you think. But a couple days later, you see that the neighbor's house has been built again. Only this time, instead of just a house, it's a palace. It's an indestructible fortress. And so the question for you is, what are you going to do? Take your chances with trying to stay on the good side of the powers, or align yourself with this new power? Jesus, by His resurrection, offers release from every rival power that keeps your humanity from true peace, from wholeness. And it's only by tying yourself to Him that you can find that peace. If you continue to bank on the powers, the ideologies, the connections you have, the world systems you adhere to, the best you can hope for is that those powers will be on your side, or most likely that they will let you be on their side without too much compromise or subservience or outright despotism. Or you can bank on one who brings wholeness even to death by turning death into life, by restoring us to wholeness, to peace. And even so, the powers may still threaten, they may still damage, but God calls us to take heart because all of that is only going to serve toward our victory. You know, if they couldn't defeat the head, Jesus, they will not defeat His body, the church. They may intimidate, they may outright persecute, but we will endure. They will not, because we have the peace of Christ. We have peace, wholeness, because we've been reconciled to God, we've been released from the powers. But this reconciliation, this release, they go beyond the individual level. I want you to think back to the beginning. World peace, we said, right? World peace. It's not just a dream. I want you to pay attention later in the Eucharistic prayer to a couple of things that will be said. Christ will reconcile all things in heaven and on earth. He will make all things new. All things. And so this peace from Jesus' resurrection is not just for you and me. It's for the whole creation. It's for everything. And it's going to come through the risen and reigning Christ. So His word to you is, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the peace that we have in Christ. Thank You that we are reconciled to You through Him, through His death and resurrection, and that we are released to serve You without fear. Thank You for Your peace. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.